Welcome to this spooktacular episode.
This is a special episode where we talk about things, horrifying things.
Huh.
Developer horror stories.
No.
With my boy Gideon.
Hey, that's me.
And myself, Murta.
Both very spooky names and spooky people.
Mm. And it goes like this.
Okay.
That's how I wake up. When I wake up in the morning and I feel like shit, which is most days.
Every day?
No, not every day.
Oh.
Sometimes I feel like this.
That sounds pretty much the same.
Equally as bad.
Yeah.
But it feels a bit different.
Well, that's good, I guess.
But yeah, today is one of those days.
One of those days. And it's also one of those months.
Yes.
When does Halloween start, by the way? Is it like the 20th or something?
Halloween? Is it a whole week? Look, not Americans.
What? A whole week? Oh, it's the 31 first. Oh my God, when you go on Google, there are ghosts.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God. There's like animation. If you type in Halloween.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Google.
This is a real exclusive reaction.
Oh my goodness, it's so beautiful.
It's fun.
Wait, there's also a button.
Yeah, there's a button you can add the ghost. Please. This guy. You know he's a Twitch streamer when you hear his memeing.
That's my normal reaction to a lot of things.
Your whole vocabulary is just all right. Anyway, yeah, it's Halloween soon. Maybe no, not when we publish this episode, I guess, but
actually, like, it's gonna be next week.
Yeah, I was like, it's another story, I guess, but. We recorded two parts for the Lighthouse episode, and you made it into one.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
So then there's a part two.
How do you know there isn't a... What?
I assume because it didn't see a part one in there. That's why.
There was.
Oh, okay. Spooky.
I don't know what's happening.
Spooky. Actually,
I think the title I sent you to check didn't have it yet.
Yeah.
Because it was obvious that it's not part of the...
I haven't listened to it yet, so that's my fault, I guess.
Yeah, on Spotify and everywhere else, it will say part one.
Spooky.
Unless it doesn't.
Oh my God.
Spooky.
So, okay. Just to recap, I think we might... we just missed Halloween with this episode.
No.
Yeah, we will.
No.
Right? Oh, no. It'll
be a week before.
Yeah. No, it's like 3 days before.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because there's gonna be an episode either today or tomorrow. So the 18th or 19th of October.
Okay. Maybe we can wait with this Halloween episode. Publish it exactly on
the 31st.
Yes.
When is that? Is that a Saturday?
Tuesday. But you can just enter it and then tell the schedule
we'll miss it.
What do you mean?
Wait, where am I? Oh my God.
Oh, this is exciting, I guess.
No, that's going to work. No, it's not.
Just put it
We're going to miss a week.
What do you mean? Oh.
Because this week is not published yet.
Yeah, but that's... What? That's fine, right?
We're going to miss a week?
No, we're not going to miss a week. We're going to be a bit late a few days. That's fine.
That's like... Okay. Nice. Listen, we got a very, very big crowd of people, very enthusiastic fans who will miss us.
Enthusiastic, like ravenous.
Yes.
They are like...
Like a horde of zombies.
Yeah, they're like frothing from the mouth when they don't get an episode on time. Very spooky. All right, let's try to like bring it back to what we were trying to do.
Okay, fine.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Developer horror stories.
Lightning.
Yes, added in post.
All right. So, yeah, we got some... first of all, we found a few horror stories, I guess. It was pretty hard to find, even though, you know, I think a lot of people do have horror stories.
I think most people don't want to share their horror stories online and have it being able to be traced back to them.
I really don't give a shit. Like, I wouldn't even mind giving the name of the company that
has done this shit. I don't know, once it's on the internet, and I don't know, if it's actually bad, and it could be linked to your career.
Yeah, I also think, like, in America, it might be a bigger problem, because they just sue people for farting in their face, so.
Really?
I don't know, dude.
I would pay for that.
They sue for everything. That's like, okay. I'm going to sue you.
No, don't do it. I don't have money.
Me neither, so I can't even sue. All right. So, yeah, we found a few stories, and we also have a few personal spooky stories.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Should we just start with the first one, I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, we found a story from a user on Reddit called Fork Rice.
Yes.
So, he eats rice with a fork, I guess?
Whoa, shit. That's
that's
scary.
Already pretty scary.
I mean, depends on what kind of rice, I guess, but most rice I would recommend eating with a spoon.
Look.
But I'm from the Middle East.
Look, my girlfriend, yeah, and she might listen to this. I don't know. Maybe you're on the plane to Japan right now and you're listening to this podcast. So, if you do, look at me and blink once or twice. I don't know. Anyway, she always tells me that you should only use a spoon for soup, which is bullshit.
That's so typical European or Western.
Like, how can you eat like finely chopped things with a fucking fork? It doesn't make any sense. Or like saucy bits.
It's just a cultural
bits.
Thing. Like people assume that spoons are for liquid things.
But only soup. Like,
yeah, but like if you have anything that can be heaped on a utensil,
yeah,
that has like elements that fall through the
So yeah, rice.
Right? Yeah, rice or like, I don't know, any kind of grains. Like if you eat like a bulgur.
A quinoa.
Quinoa.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
All that stuff. It's like eating a salad. It's like eating a salad with like chopped, like everything is chopped.
Uh-huh.
And then you're trying to serve it with a fork.
Sure.
Like, have you ever had that? Like serving things? Like, for example, are you serving rice with a fork? Out of the pot?
No.
Why not?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to use that next time, I guess.
Because it's fucking annoying.
I'm going to let her scoop the rice out of the pan with a fork.
Yep. Let's see what's more efficient.
Yeah.
The only thing I have is if you use a spoon for eating like rice,
yeah,
you eat big bites every time.
If it's, so. You could also put less on your
Yeah, you
spoon,
could.
Right,
you but know? I'm
don't
a
be
man.
Like, don't be a pig.
Dude, I'm an... I'm yeah. just a Neanderthal going like, ooh, rice.
Ooh, rice. You can just eat from the pan, I guess. Anyway, this is also a pretty spooky story, I guess, because who eats rice with a fork? But, you know.
That's one of my horror episodes, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Maybe I should force her to eat like her yogurt with a fork too. Now that's spooky.
Because yogurt isn't soup.
Exactly. All right, so we're going back to fork rice. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so he tells us that at one company he worked at, the release manager was the only person allowed to have access to many service account passwords. I mean, that's already kind of fucked up. You
What's
know?
A service account?
Service account password. I don't know, like the access to GitHub or a Bitbucket or, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
But there's only one person who has those passwords.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells us that when a dev needed to get a password, you know, to, I don't know, log in.
Sure. Just check if things are going well or
yeah,
maybe like hook up GitHub.
Exactly. Or like give access to a new developer, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He would open his unlocked drawer, his desk drawer, dig through a pile of sticky notes, and then he gave them like the passwords.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty spooky.
No management system, no rotating passwords, just stickies. That's what.
Well, I mean, like when you give a password on a sticky, I assume he doesn't like refresh his passwords because if you're dead, like
it's interesting because this story is actually I've experienced this. Not joking. There are some memories I've hidden or locked away.
Well, pushed back, I guess.
Pushed back. Yeah, this is something that like the old guard of developers,
the old guard,
like there was a guy I worked with in a previous company I worked at. He was literally like above 60, like he was 60 plus. Almost retiring.
That's fine. You know, when you're that old, I guess.
Being old is fine, but
we're old.
The thing is he has like, his mentality towards development and coding and like anything technological is outdated. like the way he approaches problems is outdated.
Maybe he just gave up too. Like
he did.
He knew he was going to retire soon.
Yes.
And also like development is pretty, you know, shitty, to be honest.
It is a tough like field to find your way in nowadays.
Well, to stay in for a long time, yeah. Like but, in the beginning, it's all fun and games, but then, like, you know, it settles in.
But like, I don't know, he did some now obscure language, but he was working in coding like back in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And he worked on like databases and stuff back then. But yeah, he actually did have like a desk drawer, like, you know, one of those things that like raise your monitor a bit.
Yeah.
Those like little, like, I don't know how to call them.
Yeah.
Like what they also sell in IKEA.
It's one of those like planks, I guess.
Yeah, but he had like a plastic one with a plastic drawer.
Oh yeah,
and then it was also locked with a key.
Whoa!
So I once asked him like, "Hey, can I log in on the FTP or whatever the NAS of the company?" And then he was like, "Sure." He takes out his keys and then takes literally like I don't know if it was stickies or like a little book or something, but it was on paper. It's like, holy crap, dude.
I've seen people open up a book with passwords in it.
It's like having your, man, I don't want to make people self-conscious, but having like, you have your phone nowadays, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people still use like a book for having their contacts in it.
Yeah.
Like, what's that called even? Like those old books where you put in like contact details.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, well, it's also, I mean, there's also people who use like a physical calendar, right?
I kind of get that because you get like a reminder, a physical reminder.
Yeah, but you can get like an alert on your mobile when
But like if you're like in the bathroom or something and you have a calendar there.
Okay, but tell me, if you go to the bathroom.
Sorry, what are you doing?
Do you bring your phone or not?
Yes, I do.
So there you go. You have your calendar.
Oh, listen, you can like.
No, I
are do. Are you opening your calendar when you go to the bathroom every time?
It depends, I guess.
I'm not. Most of the time, I'm not.
I get it. It's also a bit like a tradition, I guess, to have a calendar on the toilet.
I don't have one.
No, well, do I? No, I don't. But it's just, you know, a lot of people.
Traditions be damned.
Maybe it's a Dutch tradition. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying, like, I get the physical aspect of having a reminder. And it's like, it's not passwords.
Yeah, it's nothing like sensitive.
Yeah,
because I mean, I also like writing down on a physical notepad sometimes.
Sure.
It's, you know, sometimes it's better or I don't know, more fun to write down.
I agree. I think
it's just like with stuff that you need repeatedly and like it has to be accessible. I don't know. I think like a mobile phone makes way more sense. Of course.
Exactly.
But, like, some people are just used to.
Technology is actually meant to make our lives easier, but people refuse to use it in the right way.
Well, it's meant to make our lives easier, but a lot of times it doesn't. So
I don't know. I think without technology, I think my life would be so much worse. Like not even like computers, but also different types of technology. But that's a different story.
That's a different story. Yeah. Imagine a world without technology. Ooh.
That's the premise of a few shows, actually. Like Full Metal Alchemist.
Okay.
That's actually the premise there, where they are in a a version of the Earth where technology isn't advancing or doesn't advance as fast. So instead they find alchemy, and like in their universe, alchemy works.
Yeah, because in the past, like in real life, people try to make alchemy work, you know, and create gold, for example.
Yeah.
but they didn't work out as
it's
planned.
It's kind of like
but,
magic.
Yeah.
So in that universe, the magic of alchemy actually works and they can transmutate everything they want.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I got another horror story for you.
Go ahead.
It's from Mr. or Miss, I don't know, Lekoaf. Lekoaf? L-E-K-O-A-F.
Yeah, I don't know.
But this guy... Or this person said, I worked with a guy who, with every small bug fix, decides to refactor large parts of the code. Usually with hard to understand solutions and lots of regex. If you don't know what regex is, it's I also don't know what it is. No, it's like if you think about hackers in movies, how they would type, like coding.
I'm really curious where this is going, but yeah.
That's all it is. Like, it looks like if you think of like what developers do when they're like writing code, and you're thinking of like all the things they're writing. So it's like all these little squiggly lines and like little all the keys you don't use on your keyboard when you're typing normal sentences. That's what regex is.
Like everything on your keyboard besides like normal letters.
Yeah, the alphanumeric letters. That's regex. And then
that's like the worst explanation for regex ever, but
well, you like, tried to explain. That's a horror story.
Oh my
but
god.
But anyway, regex is really hard to understand a lot of times.
I mean, that's true, yeah.
So yeah, and he would get very hostile every time we pointed out the error of his ways. He left the company long ago, but we still use him as a cautionary tale. Don't be like him.
Ooh, I like that this story also has like a nice, how to call that, resolution or a warning. That's how it usually goes with horror stories, I guess.
Yep. But do you recognize this?
Well, partially. I mean, not the regex part, but yeah, I've also worked with people who decided to rewrite the whole application just because. Well, they felt like it.
Yeah, it's more like the mentality. It's not even like that they're putting in effort, because in the end it's like, wow, good job, you know, you rewrote like 400 lines by adding like another 400.
Yeah.
And I don't per se mind that, as long as it's well documented and talk through. Not like you come back from a weekend and then...
Surprise.
Yeah, that has happened, and that's a horror story.
But like there has to be time, and like people need to be prepared for it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write it down, but I also saw like a story that kind of matches this, where someone decided to rewrite a whole application in a framework while he was working on something. So... And he just decided to do that on his own. So he was
working with a team.
He was working in a team, and they were working in, I don't know, like .NET or whatever.
Okay.
And he was like, "Well, I don't like this," and he just decided to rewrite the whole application in something else. And then after like a few weeks, people got wind of it, and he had to, you know, he was forced to stop doing that. But also, like, no one noticed that he was doing that, and no one asked for it. So he was just doing something on his own.
That was a real... This happened at a place you were working?
No, no. I saw it on the internet. A post. Okay. Yeah. But...
Like, what?
Why?
I mean... Hobby?
Yeah, but...
But it's work... Like, it's during work hours.
Yes, exactly. So he's spending work hours on something that no one asked.
That's weird.
Well, yeah.
I think he just wants to maybe switch careers.
It sounds like someone who's not, you know, really willing to work in that language.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one should work in .NET, but...
I've seen worse things.
Sure. Java. Yeah.
Ooh.
Java.
Oh, but
Python.
Lisp. ASP.NET.
Oh, no.
I have another thing, like, with this comment like from Lecoff, with the solutions that are hard to understand and regex, that kind of rung a bell. And I have a good friend. He's a good programmer, but he likes to over-engineer things.
Uh-huh.
And over-engineering is like one of the biggest downfalls of a good developer, in my opinion. You bog yourself down so much with... So much, like you would call it boilerplate code.
Yeah.
Like, thankfully, JavaScript, the language that I'm using most right now, doesn't have a lot of, how do you call it, like boilerplate code. Mm-hmm. You don't need to set up classes and, like, I don't know. Like, for example, take PHP. And if you go to, like, Laravel route, there's so much boilerplate. It's like you're writing code that is just, like, you're preparing your code to do something, but you're not actually writing anything functional or productive.
Yeah, it's just, it feels a bit useless, but you have to do it.
Yeah, it's like you have to interface with APIs, you have to set up like a structure of your files, and you have to like reference them. So like the only moments I notice that we use boilerplate is if you make like an index file to export multiple components, you know, in a folder. That's like the boilerplate, or like you're typing export default function. That's boilerplate code.
Sure.
But in some languages, you have to, like, half your code is boilerplate because you have to interface, or you have to have a specific type of, like, specific way of writing code to keep it industry standard.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm so thankful that we don't have to do that. But, yeah, I had some projects where I was like, okay, so what are you working on? And then he was working for a whole week and he had no actual code, but it was all set up for the actual code. Yeah, it's like, on one hand, it's great because if you're going to build up from that point, it's going to be really well set up.
Sure.
It's going to be a good base, but we still haven't had any progress.
Well, I think it's fine when you work for a specific project or company, but if you do that when you have a strict deadline, for example, and you have a client that you have to show stuff, you can't, you know... You can't work a whole week and then show nothing.
Yeah, but I also just disagree with the mindset where you think about the final version of the code.
Yeah.
I think you should think about the first version of the code and make prototypes.
Yeah.
Work with like the smallest possible code base, but the most functional code base. Just make it work and do your business logic as simple as possible.
Yeah.
And then work it out to something more industry standard.
Sure.
But yeah, anyway, it rung like an old bell. Went like,
it hurts.
Yeah, it hurt a bit. But again, like, I respect him as a developer. Mm-hmm. I think he also changed his ways a bit.
Hey, that's good.
Because he noticed, yeah, okay, I've done so much work and now I have to refactor again and refactor again and refactor again.
Now that's scary.
That's really, that takes so much time.
Refactoring is scary in itself.
Mm-hmm.
We have a short one, I guess, just a small little thing from Mr. Mo One. And his story, if you can call it that, was that Stack Overflow was blocked by the company firewall and also categorized under personal and dating.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't know how.
Did one of the developers find their soulmate?
No, their loved one, yeah.
Sure. Stack Overflow.
So that sucks. I mean... do I use Stack Overflow? I mean,
I
try not to use it a lot, but it just happens, you know. It just, a lot of times the answer is just
it's there. Really interesting. The more I currently I'm not coding a lot, but also there's very few solutions on Stack Overflow that apply anymore.
Yeah.
Lots of the issues I have are documented in the docs of the frameworks, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, the documentation has become a lot better for a lot of like frameworks and tools.
And I ask ChatGPT.
Oh no.
Yep. No, I actually do ask ChatGPT sometimes, like, write me a simple setup for XYZ in this language, in this framework.
Okay.
And then it gives me a base, and then I search on the internet and I would find what's that community called again? Something dev?
Dev.to?
Dev2.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I find like an article there and maybe a Medium article.
I hate that website, but that's not a story.
I know what you're saying. But like I combine three places.
Yeah, and then, so you triangulate.
And then I also try to find it on the document, like the docs of the official framework.
Sure.
Official docs of the framework.
Uh-huh.
And... it's usually because the official docs don't go in depth enough.
Sometimes. Yeah, or they're missing information. Yeah. I've seen that happen before.
When you transfer from Next.js 12 to 13 and you have like the app folder, there's also like new ways to do the head, you know, head like metadata and like OG image and stuff.
Yeah.
You used to have like actual HTML in there with actual tags. But nowadays you use an object.
Oh, nice.
And it like has predefined lists of...
So you need to know exactly which properties.
Yeah.
Which
exist and which don't. And if you want to add something to the head, it doesn't work anymore with the head.
Interesting.
So like I'm not even sure how to actually extend the functionality there.
Yeah.
But so like sometimes I just got to Google that stuff.
Yeah, I recognize that.
But yeah, why would you block websites at a company?
Like I haven't Have I seen it happen before? I don't think so. But like, I can imagine big companies do this, especially like in America or other countries.
Like Facebook, like anything social media.
Yeah, exactly. They try to block it because they don't want you to or visit personal things, you know.
I guess.
Like, I think we, at least in the Netherlands, have kind of accepted it, that it happens at work sometimes, you know.
I just don't understand to what end. Like, what's the measure? What are they trying to prevent with this measure?
Time that you waste work time on personal things.
Okay.
That's all. I think
that's more of a mentality thing.
It is. Yeah, sure. But again, I think like it's a difference between us, maybe Europe or just the Netherlands and USA. What I've seen, at least from a lot of like American developers, is that they do weird stuff like, I don't know, like they time your toilet visits and you're not allowed to go to the toilet with your phone in your hand and stuff like that.
They take the time that you go to the toilet off your
work hours. Yeah. You can't go for a shit not too long of a shit because otherwise it's going to...
Listen, man, I had a big burrito bowl yesterday.
Well, they don't care. Okay. You know, not on work time.
Dude, I had like 3 cups of black coffee in the morning.
So I think that's the thing why we don't really have that kind of stuff.
Maybe it's also like corporate companies, huge companies, like the size of companies affect the way they can control this issue. So it's like, instead of actually having a talk and finding the people who are willing to not spend personal time and work, there's like, I don't know, like 75% of the employees are going to work and 25% aren't going to work. So that's a given. It's a statistic maybe like in that corporate company. So they're like, perhaps. Okay, how do we get this to a...
It's always about earning more money and being more efficient. So
yeah. But yeah, I don't know. How does Stack Overflow fall under that?
I mean, it might be a mistake. I'm not sure.
Maybe anything that has social media... Because it is a social...
Integrations? Yeah.
No, like not integrations, but like...
Or like...
The platform itself is...
kind of...
Yeah.
A forum.
Yeah.
Social. Yeah, sure, I get it.
It is... I think if you would categorize it, wouldn't you call it like a social platform?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
It's not media.
It's like a social... It's a different beast. Okay, so another user called All Up In This Biz...
Don't do that anymore.
All right.
You're not in Smosh or Lonely Island.
Smosh? Holy shit.
Lonely Island.
How old are those guys?
They look young still. I don't know how they do it.
So he shared a story. A poor, unsuspecting app was being tortured with endless DDoS attacks. Every pod and every node became exhausted, and no matter how many firewall rules were being set up, the attacks refused to end and brought production to its knees. ... And then... The calls, they were coming from inside the network. Oh my God.
What? Wait.
No, that's scary.
That's it?
That's the story, yeah.
Dude, don't leave on a cliffhanger.
Who? Why? Where?
They didn't find the culprit?
I don't know. Maybe he just decided it was more fun to tell it like this. I think there was a leak somewhere or like I don't know. There was like a script calling.
Yeah, but I think it could also just be someone could have hacked the one of the nodes and then put a virus or a virus type script
on the network. Yeah, maybe. That's still scary, right?
Yeah, it is. When it's inside. It's super scary, but it almost sounded like he was trying to say it was coming from, like, it's an inside job.
Oh, it doesn't necessarily have to be.
I guess not. Yeah. But like, I can't tell. Was it someone... on the inside, or was it?
No one knows.
I feel unsatisfied. All up in this biz, you got to run your business better.
Maybe the next story will help.
Okay.
Finish you off.
Whoa. Well, let me hear it.
Okay. No, you should read it.
Okay.
You can finish off your...
I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Okay. Propitors?
Propitors.
Propitors.
Hello.
Propitors says, I've had to code in front of people twice and floundered both times. I have happily pair coded with coworkers a million times. At an interview, it's so jarring and alien. I can't do it right.
Oh, all right. So I added this one because So he had an interview and he had to code in front of people.
That's awkward.
Have you had that before with an interview or not? Because I have, and it was horrible.
Kind of. But I've actually, you know, I've been part of the hiring process. Oh, and I've asked people to code without me in the room.
Okay.
But and that, I gave them...
I still think that's shitty, though, but...
I don't think it's bad, because it does give...
It's less bad, but...
I think it gives you an idea of, like, their knowledge and experience. It's not like I'm giving them a specific coding exercise.
I don't know. I think, like... When you have like a job interview and you are in a new area with new people and you suddenly have to on the spot also code because
we tell them that though that yeah. you're going to have to
I don't know like I don't like it at least let's keep it at that
sure I think there is a place for it
I think I've already told this story once or twice before but I've had an interview at a big agency here in Rotterdam like a few years back when I was looking for a new permanent job but they forced me to do an IQ test that was already kind of weird and then I had to do an assignment on the spot when someone else was sort of sitting right next to mm-hmm. me and looking over my shoulder the whole time and nice. They also asked me to do or write some stuff that I was not even like there for like some front-end code that I was not knowledgeable in.
Okay.
And they didn't ask beforehand for me to do so.
Okay. That's awkward.
It was very awkward. And like with the IQ test, I think I already like I after the IQ test, I already was like, I'm not gonna do this because I was floundering, of course, also because I was very nervous. Mm. But I don't know.
Imagine.
It's just you don't expect that. And also I don't know. Like, I need a specific mindset when I write code, at least.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily when I'm at a job interview and someone is staring at my screen, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you, but when I write and you suddenly make mistakes on the keyboard and the mouse and stuff like that when someone Definitely. Is like actively watching or sitting next to you. So
yeah, I do get nervous as well. I think it sounds like I've never had someone actually like be that intimate with me during an interview.
Sure,
So I think why I would not be an opponent is just if you can switch. That's already really important to me. If you're in as a developer, are you able to switch your brain from like an interview to coding in like 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, but that doesn't happen in real life. You
it
know?
Does.
No.
Yes, it does.
So you when you have your regular job, you have an interview and then you have to code. Afterwards.
If you have a meeting and then you have to code, yeah, I can switch back to it without having to take 15 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's anxiety or something. I don't know. But
like, it's not showing expertise always. That's not why I'm like why I would be asking people to write code during an interview. Mm-hmm. It's more like I want to see how they approach problems.
Sure.
And I give them really simple tasks. Okay. Like, look at this design.
That might be the difference.
Yeah,
I guess,
look at this design and write like the HTML you would put.
Okay, I mean...
Like something like that.
That would be fine.
I just want to like see how they would handle the problem.
I get that. Like, I've had interviews where I had to... Well, you probably also have, but where they asked you to do an assignment and you can do it from home and then you just deliver it and then they ask questions based on the structure and the
I've
code
given
you wrote.
That too, to
you know,
people.
I think that's, on the one hand, that's better because you gave the space to mm-hmm. write it, but you might also create too much space where they just, you know, copy paste stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you assume they don't, and I've never done that, but...
There is a story. I don't want to go into it too much, but yeah, one of the people who ended up being a big problem with their mindset was someone we gave an assignment for. And then they came back with a code base that was like, I don't know, 5 times bigger than I expected. And apparently...
Over-engineered. Uh-huh.
Over-engineered, but apparently they copy-pasted a lot of code from like their previous job.
Oh, interesting.
And they like they were proud of it. They were like, yeah, I wrote all this stuff. And I added it because I like it's not part of the assignment, but mm-hmm. it's nice, I guess. And then they were like, yeah, I think this is like the way I approach things, he said.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then apparently that's also the mindset during when we work in a team.
Uh-huh.
That's his mindset there too, where he is just focus on doing his own thing without, you know, talking to his team, without having actual like input from his team about the things he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
That's horrific.
Yeah. So just to finish my little part off. So with IQ test, I stopped midway and I said like, I'm done. I'm not going to do this.
So, you mean midway during the interview?
Yeah.
So during the coding.
Yeah. I said, I'm not going to do this. This is, you know,
oh, damn.
I'm going to stop this. You know, I can't focus right now. You're sitting right next to me, breathing in my fucking neck. So I'm not going to do this. And I said, well, probably won't hear from you, but
yeah,
have a great day.
That's awkward.
And it was awkward, but you know, it was more awkward trying to write something while your hands are like crippled.
Yeah. I can, yeah. Again, like that's not a place you want to be in.
Yeah.
From both ends. Like, you don't want to force people to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, but this was like their regular way to interview people.
A lot of like big corporations, and especially in the US, do this.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's really weird.
There's also this other technique. It's like whiteboard.
Oh yeah, coding. I saw that. People were complaining about that. Yeah, whiteboard programming. Like I've done that like on like school for yeah. You know, that was also ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Writing down code on paper.
Yeah, exactly. Like during exams.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
So weird.
Yeah, I got like a sheet of A4 paper, and you had to write like a whole body tag and HTML, and just write a whole website.
I had to do Java. With syntax and everything. Like, how do I even remember?
It's so stupid.
I don't know. It's weird. But anyway, I hope that goes away.
Yeah.
On the spot writing code while people complex functions.
Uh-huh.
It's like having a riddle
mm-hmm.
that doesn't have a clear answer and you have to think of something creative.
Yeah.
Or you have to like, I don't know, like wow them with your answer.
Well, yeah, so that's the thing. You try to, well, first and foremost, you try to solve the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're also trying to think like, oh, how can I impress them?
Yeah.
And so your whole, well, at least my mind is like going, oh, I have to do this, but I can also do this, and I'm going to do this.
Yep.
And then I'm like, oh, maybe I can try this new thing I've never tried before. But for some reason, my brain decided that right now is the right time to do something new,
yep.
You know? And then it doesn't work. And you have yep. to figure out why it doesn't work. But you can't just go to Google and, you know, find things because they're watching you and you have to solve it yourself, you know?
Yeah.
It's all that shit.
That's also a thing. You're probably in an IDE that doesn't even have, like... It's not even set up.
Basically set up, yeah.
It doesn't have linters. It doesn't have this. It doesn't have that.
It's not your own PC or laptop.
Was it at least in like a running dev environment where you could actually like run?
I don't remember. I probably.
Okay.
But they were probably also using like tools I've never used before. Yeah. So, you know, that's, yeah. Again, I think this is not a good idea to test your candidates, but that's me.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I think it's just the approach. It could work. It could also backfire. And I think the end result of what you get,
mm-hmm.
it's like an experiment you're doing with a lab rat.
Exactly. The problem is that it's a social experiment.
Yep.
It's not like you're not testing someone on a skill level. You're just
yep.
socially testing them.
Social skills.
So like they could have asked me, hey, do you have anxiety? And you know, they're already, I could walk out of the door immediately instead of wasting an hour.
You could show your crippled hands.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'll be like, okay.
So yeah, all right. So you can leave now, the door's there. And
I don't know. I feel bad for you.
I'm fine. Like it's also something fun to tell people, I guess.
Hmm?
And right now, like, I know that if I refuse all tests, all types of code tests by default now.
Even the ones you take home, like as an assignment?
I'm more okay with that, okay. But it's still something I don't really want to do. Like,
It's a time wasted, man.
Exactly that. Like, I've done so many tests and I've gone to so many potential clients.
Yep.
And, like... It looks great, you know, and they're like excited and they're like, when can you begin? And then
Like, no answer even.
No answer. Or like a few days later, you get a call and it's like, yeah, well, we solved it internally, the problem. You know, oh stuff my like God. That. That's so annoying.
That's like the number one reason for everything.
I've worked somewhere for a whole day for free because they were really excited and they wanted me to test me to see how I would work with colleagues.
Sure.
Everything was great. I was doing amazing. I wrote some new stuff they've never seen before. You know, they didn't work with React, for example, yet. And I showed them that and they were like, whoa, this is really cool. And then I didn't hear from them for like 2 weeks almost.
I think I know which company.
And again, they said like, well, we really liked it. Maybe in the future we have something for you, but we solved it internally. So we shifted some people around.
That's so bullshit.
I hate it. So yeah, again, that's why I don't do tests and I don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all. It's like also a spooky story, I guess.
Hello, human.
Yes, we are also human.
No, but yes, we are human. Human.
Yo, man, we are from Jamaica.
We are from Jamaica and from the future.
We are Giddy and Morta from the future.
Yes, don't be alarmed by our presence.
We are here to tell you something.
Something important.
This episode was a bit too long.
And we had to split it in two.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
I hope you don't mind, man. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Yes, it will be a good one. Trust us.
To be continued.